All right. So you're someone who likes to really get to the bottom of things,
Yeah.
right? Like, how do we get here? And that's exactly what we're doing today. We're going deep, really deep, into a pivotal moment in Houston's LGBTQ history. Town Meeting 1, June 25th, 1978.
Yeah, and this wasn't just some random meeting. This was like the heart of Houston's very first official Gay Pride Week.
Exactly. And what we really want to uncover today is just how significant this single event was. Like, how did it shape the LGBTQ community in Houston? And luckily, we've got some amazing sources to work with, original news articles. We've got an incredibly rare audio recording of the meeting itself.
We've even got a poster from the event and some really insightful documents. Like, we've got Cissy Farenthold's speech. She was a former gubernatorial candidate, by the way. And there's this thing called the TMI workbook, which is like their planning guide.
I mean, it's stepping back in time.
Right.
So, okay, let's set the stage a bit. Before the Anita Bryant protests, the gay community in Houston existed, obviously, but they weren't as publicly organized. It was more like smaller circles, not a big political movement.
Right. And then Anita Bryant comes along with her, her whole campaign. And suddenly there's this feeling of like, hey, we need to do something. We need to have a voice, a political
Yeah,
voice.
and that's where someone like Ray Hill steps in. This guy was a visionary. Seriously, he saw this moment, this need for action, and he thought, okay, let's have a town meeting, not just to talk amongst ourselves, but to actually mobilize to become a real political force.
And that's how Town Meeting One was born, organized by the Gay Political Caucus. And get this. It was the first politically focused meeting of homosexual individuals in the entire United States.
Without that, first in the entire country. What do you think it was about that time, about that moment, that allowed someone like Ray Hill to see that potential for mobilization?
That's a good question. I think maybe it was the fact that, for many people in the community, this was it. It was like all these years of discrimination were finally coming to a head and they needed to do something. And the response was huge. I mean, 4,000 people showed up at the Astor Arena.
That's wild. Like, this wasn't some small hidden gathering. This was front page news. It was on TV. I mean, Cissy Farenthold, the keynote speaker,
Yeah.
she really drove home the message. Freedom is for everyone, and that includes civil rights, healthcare, personal safety, all the things that were being threatened. And Ginny Appuzo from the National Gay Task Force, she was there too, chairing the meeting. It must have been electric.
Absolutely. And what's really striking is they weren't just there to make a statement. They came prepared. They had these 13 propositions, very specific concerns they wanted
Oh,
addressed.
right. What's a real agenda? What were some of those?
Well, things like job security, because, back then you could be fired for being gay. They talked about police harassment, about access to health care, and of course, the big one, repealing the Texas sodomy statute.
Wow. So they really hit the ground running. And it wasn't just talk, was it? Like, tangible things actually came out of Town Meeting One.
Oh, absolutely. We can directly trace the roots of so many vital community organizations back to this meeting. The Montrose Counseling Center, the Montrose Activity Center, the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard.
Wait, so all of those were basically born out of this one meeting?
Yep. And even groups like the Hispanic Caucus and the Montrose Sports Association, they got their start there too. It was about creating a support system, a sense of community that just wasn't there before.
That's incredible. And for people who had felt so isolated, that must have been like life-changing.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what else? They passed a resolution to form an alliance with transgender individuals.
Really? That's so forward-thinking, especially for that time.
Yeah, they were ahead of the curve on that one. Oh, and before I forget, Donald and Binder, who is the publisher of Blue Boy magazine, he gave the closing remarks. And he made this really interesting point. He said that most people, non-gay people, actually did support basic human rights for everyone.
That's a hopeful message. And, speaking of hearing those voices, we actually have that rare audio clip from the meeting. It's from the afternoon session, and they're talking about legal reform and civil rights, like really getting into the nuts and bolts. And get this, they're following Robert's Rules of Order. It's like a little time capsule of democracy in action.
It's amazing, right? You can actually hear people like Larry Bagnaris, Patty O'Kane, even Donald and Binder speaking in the clip. And around the 1:15 mark, there's this really powerful moment where you hear trans activists Tony Mays and Phyllis Fry making motions. It gives you chills.
So we have the audio, we've got these documents. I mean, it really paints a vivid picture.
We do. There's this poster, too, from the 1978 Gay Pride Week advertising the Pound Meeting. And think about this. The first big pride parade in Houston wasn't until 79, so this might actually be one of the very first pride posters ever.
Wow. And I heard this poster was hanging in Ray Hill's apartment for years.
It was. He was very proud of it. And there are photos from the event, too, floating around somewhere. Oh, and Ray Hill's organization, they were called the Houston Human Rights League.
I think I also saw that This Week in Texas magazine had the conference on its cover.
Yep, they did a whole feature on it.
It's interesting, though, that later attempts to recapture that magic, like Town Meeting 2 in 95, they didn't really have the same impact.
Yeah. I think that speaks to how special that first town meeting really was. It was lightning in a bottle. It galvanized the community and led to so many positive changes.
It's like, after years of feeling like they were on the outside, suddenly the LGBTQ community in Houston had a voice, they had power, they had resources, and they made it happen themselves.
Exactly. And hopefully, you know, now you have a better understanding of this pivotal moment in LGBTQ history.
Absolutely. It really makes you wonder what seemingly small events are happening right now, maybe in your own community, that could have a similar ripple effect. And what role can each of us play in shaping those outcomes?
That's the question, isn't it?
It is. All right. Well, that's our deep dive into Town Meeting 1. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And until next time, keep digging, keep questioning, and keep exploring those untold stories.
Because who knows what you might uncover?